Okay, picture this. It's a Tuesday night, February 2026. You're doing that chore that nobody loves.
Taking out the trash.
Exactly. You grab the bag. It's leaking something a little suspicious. You go out to the curb in the rain, lift the lid of the bin, but instead of, a dark, smelly void, the whole thing lights up.
A display screen greets you.
Yeah, it gives you a green check mark for sorting, or maybe gives you this gentle digital scolding for putting a plastic bottle in the paper section. It sounds like sci-fi, right?
It really does. But it's not a gimmick.
And according to the research we have in front of us today, that's just the current reality of urban infrastructure.
It absolutely is. We're looking at a complete overhaul of how cities function. This isn't just about better garbage trucks. We're talking about the total digitization of waste.
The digitization of waste. That's a phrase I never thought I'd be excited to discuss.
I know.
Today, we are doing a deep dive into this massive analytical report by Techin Plus. It's called AI and the Digital Revolution of Urban Waste Management. And I'll be honest, when I saw that title, I thought, okay, this is going to be dry.
Right.
But the content is wild. We're talking about robots that see in hypercolor. We're talking about something called dirty gold and how your trash bin is basically becoming a smart data terminal.
That is the perfect way to frame it. The whole mission of this deep dive is to unpack how that's happening. We think of waste management as this like invisible, low-tech thing. You put the bag out, it disappears.
You forget about it.
But this report argues that AI has become the savior of urban infrastructure.
A savior. That feels like a huge claim for a garbage can.
It's a big claim. But when you look at the data on efficiency, on public health, on the economics, it really holds up. We're going to look at bins that see, trucks that think, and robots that never sleep.
Okay, let's start there. Bins that see. Because this is the part that stopped me in my tracks. The report calls it the eye of the bin. These aren't just plastic buckets anymore.
No, they're sophisticated computers. The public bins in these model cities have high-resolution cameras installed right at the opening.
Okay, hold on. Watching. That's the word I'm stuck on. Because if I'm out there in my bathrobe at 6 a.m., I don't love the idea of a camera broadcasting that to City Hall. Is this a surveillance nightmare?
That's the immediate fear, right? The Big Brother concern. And the report actually addresses that head on. This is where a technical term, edge AI, becomes maybe the most important thing in the whole document.
We see edge everywhere in tech marketing now, but break it down for me in the trash context. Why should that make me feel better?
It's the difference between a reflex and a conversation. A normal CCTV camera records video and sends that huge file to a server in the cloud to be analyzed.
Right, so the video exists somewhere.
Exactly. And that's the privacy risk. But edge means the brain is in the bin. The processing happens locally on the chip right there at the curb.
So it's not sending a video file.
No. The camera sees an object. The chip says that is a PT plastic bottle. And then, and this is the key, it deletes the image.
It deletes it instantly.
In milliseconds. The only thing that leaves the bin is a tiny text file that says, one plastic bottle coordinates X and Y 8:05 a.m. No video, no bathrobe, just the data point.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better. It's counting, not watching, but the report said it actually gives feedback, like it talks back to you.
It's an educational loop.
Yeah.
It uses computer vision and deep neural networks to identify the trash as it falls. So if you throw that bottle in the paper bin, the display flashes. It's trying to correct your behavior in real time.
It's like a spell checker for recycling.
That's a great way to put it. And it goes beyond just seeing. These bins have IoT sensors measuring volume, weight, even odor.
Odor. Why does the city need to know if my trash stinks?
Because smell is data. If a bin is starting to smell, it indicates organic decomposition, maybe a biohazard. It tells the system, hey, this bin needs priority pickup before it attracts rats.
So the bin is smart. It knows what's inside. But the report says the real revelation is what happens after the bin is full. Let's talk about the trucks. I grew up with the truck coming every Tuesday morning. Rain or shine, the truck came.
The traditional fixed schedule model.
Yeah.
And from a data perspective, it's a disaster. Think about it. Trucks ran their routes at, say, 9 p.m. every night, whether the bins were overflowing or totally empty.
Which means they were burning diesel to go pick up air half the time.
Exactly. Just massive fuel waste, unnecessary traffic. The new system uses dynamic routing. It's basically Waze for waste.
How does that work in practice?
The system literally rewrites the collection route every single morning. It looks at the data from all those smart bins and only sends trucks to those specific locations that actually need emptying.
So if my street didn't generate much trash this week, the truck just skips us.
Correct. and the impact is huge. The report's data shows this one shift reduces fleet fuel consumption by 30 to 35%.
That is a massive number for a city budget.
It is, and it reduces congestion. But what's really fascinating is the adaptability. The system notices patterns.
Like what?
So say there's a neighborhood with a big spike in plastic waste on weekends, maybe near a park. The AI sees that pattern and adjusts. It might increase bin capacity there or schedule an extra pickup just for that zone on Saturdays.
It anticipates the mess before it even happens.
It does, and that prevents overflows, which aren't just ugly. They attract pests, spread disease. You're saving on public health costs.
Proactive, not reactive. Okay, speaking of costs, the report gets into the economics, and they use this phrase I love. Dirty gold.
Yes. This is where the business case just becomes undeniable.
Before we get to the gold, though, one more thing on the trucks. The report mentioned wear and tear. I hadn't really considered that.
It's a huge hidden cost. Garbage trucks have the hardest life of any vehicle. It's stop, start every 50 feet. That just destroys brakes, engines, transmissions.
Yeah.
But because the AI uses pathfinding algorithms for a smooth flow, they aren't stopping nearly as often. They're skipping all the empty bins.
So the truck itself lasts longer.
Significantly longer. The report says it increases fleet longevity by 40%. That means a city isn't buying a $250,000 truck every 5 years.
That's huge. Okay, so let's follow the trash. Bin sees it, truck picks it up. Now it's at the sorting center. In my mind, this is a conveyor belt with people picking things out by hand. It looks like dangerous work.
It is. And that human element was always the bottleneck. You've got a fast-moving conveyor belt, it's loud, the air is poor, and you have people trying to spot a clear plastic bottle in a mountain of other stuff.
It's a needle in a haystack.
It really is.
Yep.
And after a couple of hours, your eyes get tired, you miss things. That's how contamination happens, which is the deal breaker. But these new robotic arms, they don't get tired. They use multispectral sensors.
Multispectral? That sounds like something from Star Trek. What does it mean for a piece of trash?
It means they see beyond visible light. We see colors. These sensors see chemical composition. They can look at a dirty, mud-covered piece of plastic and know that is high-density polyethylene and tell it apart from peat plastic in a millisecond.
I can't even do that when I'm looking at the little triangle on the bottom.
And they do it at up to 80 picks per minute, 247. This gets us to the dirty gold concept. Because the robots are so precise, the purity of the recycled material hits 99%.
And purity equals money.
Exactly. In the commodities market, 99% purity is a valuable product. Municipalities can sell this at twice the price of the old mixed-up stuff. They're literally mining gold from the trash stream.
There was another part about the sorting that terrified me a little. The safety supervisor role.
Well, this is critical. We throw away dangerous things like lithium batteries or spray cans. If those go into a crusher, they explode. Fires in recycling centers are a huge problem.
And a human might miss a small battery under a pizza box.
But the AI sees it instantly. It identifies the hazard and instructs the robot to remove it gently, preventing explosions. This lowers insurance rates for the company significantly.
So it's safer, faster, more profitable. I want to zoom out a bit because the report takes us on this world tour of how cities are applying this tech. Which one stood out to you?
Well, Stockholm is the urban utopia model.
The vacuum tubes. I read that part twice.
It's wild. They have an underground pneumatic system. You drop your trash in an inlet, and a vacuum sucks it through pipes at 70 kilometers an hour to a sorting center outside the city.
That sounds like the Jetsons.
It's incredible. It means there are basically no garbage trucks in the city center. Near zero noise, near zero air pollution.
Wow. Then you have Singapore, the multitasker model.
Singapore is fascinated. They use these big belly smart bins that compact the trash, so they hold 5 times the normal amount.
So you collect less often.
Reduced collection by 70%. But, and this is the multitasker part, the bins are also solar-powered, free Wi-Fi hotspots.
Wait, the trash can is giving you internet?
In a smart city, every piece of infrastructure has to pull double duty. Why just hold trash when you can also connect people to the web?
That's incredible. Then there's San Francisco. This one felt more psychological. The gamification model.
This is where behavioral economics meets tech. They use cameras to scan QR codes on the bags. If the AI sees you sorted perfectly, ding, you get points.
And you can spend those points?
Yep. On transport discounts or store vouchers. It turns recycling into a game with real rewards.
I know myself. I would become unbearable. I'd be checking my trash app to see if I beat my neighbor.
And that's exactly what they want. It hacks our competitive nature for a good cause.
Now, the last case study I thought was really important because we think of this as rich city tech, but the report talks about Nairobi, Kenya.
This is the crisis response model, and it's so vital. In slums where trucks can't go, they use satellite imagery and drones to identify illegal dumping sites.
Finding the trash from the sky.
Exactly. Then they deploy rapid response teams. It proves AI isn't just a luxury, it's a tool for basic environmental health.
It's solving immediate, critical problems. Speaking of which, we have to talk about environmental defense. Methane.
Methane is the silent killer. It's 25 times more potent than CO2. And a huge chunk of it comes from
landfills.
Exactly. All that rotting food with no oxygen.
You called it a lasagna of rotting food, which is a disgusting image, thank you. So how does AI fight that?
It starts at the source. If the AI in the bin identifies organic material, it diverts it. Instead of going to a landfill to leak methane, it goes to a biogas plant.
And gets turned into energy.
Right. But even for the waste in a landfill, they use gas sensors and AI to manage it to calculate exactly when to cover waste layers or extract gas.
The report said this cuts greenhouse gas leaks by 60% in Europe. That's a staggering number. And it helps with water, too.
Leachate management.
That word always grosses me out. Leachate.
It's basically trash juice. It's a nightmare for groundwater.
Yeah.
AI monitors moisture and temperature to manage that runoff. It's like a defense shield for the water table.
And there's a financial incentive, too. Carbon credits.
This is the new business model. Recycling centers can generate real-time carbon offset reports. They can prove how much carbon they saved, and they sell those credits on the market.
So they make money from the recycled plastic and from the carbon they didn't emit.
Correct. It creates a fast ROI for investors. This is why private money is flooding into this sector. It's profitable.
So if I'm a city manager listening, I'm thinking, this sounds amazing, but my budget is tight. How do cities get started?
That's the fear, that it's too expensive. But the report makes a brilliant counterargument. Not investing is more expensive.
Because of all the fuel and lost revenue?
Exactly. Yeah. But you don't have to do it all at once. The report suggests a start small approach.
Retrofitting.
Yes. Put sensor kits on your existing dumb bins. Install the route optimization software. Just doing that can save about 15% of your costs.
And then you use that savings to buy the fancy robots later.
It funds itself over time, but there's a big warning here. Security.
The zero trust architecture? That sounded ominous.
Well, if your trash collection is digital, it's hackable. Imagine a hacker freezing waste collection for a city of 5 million people as a ransom tactic.
The garbage would just pile up in the streets.
Within days. So security isn't an add-on. It has to be baked in from the start.
And what about the human element? What happens to the municipal workers?
It's a shift in skills. You're not just pulling a lever on a truck anymore. You're managing a smart tablet. You're dealing with data. The report argues this is good for the workforce, retraining them for the digital age.
So let's wrap this up. What does all this mean for us, the regular people taking out the trash?
I think it means we have to stop looking at waste as something to just get rid of. The core message here is waste is data and data is gold.
And living in a city with this tech means cleaner air, less traffic, and a better budget for other things.
It connects to everything. Public health, the economy, the climate.
I want to leave our listener with one final thought the report touched on about open data. If cities open up all this waste data to developers, what happens next?
That's the really exciting frontier.
I'm just imagining the startups, if you know who's throwing away what and where. Could we see an Uber for e-waste?
Or specialized compost services that connect local restaurants to gardens instantly.
Right. A dating app, but for compost. Local coffee grounds seeking the tomato plant.
Exactly. Or a marketplace for upcycling materials before they even hit the recycling center.
The waste ecosystem is just beginning. It's weirdly exciting.
It is. We're moving from a linear throw-it-away model to a circular digital one.
Well, I will certainly never look at my kitchen din the same way again. I hope you won't either. Mm-hmm. Thank you for diving deep with us into the surprisingly clean and surprisingly profitable world of trash.
It was a pleasure.
See you on the next deep dive.